As you'll remember, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We've learned that He is a person who loves us. He's not just a force of God. He's not an it or a thing, as some teach, but He's a person that can be grieved, and a person that can be quenched. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we sin. We grieve Him when we live in rebellion to Him. And when we grieve Him, then the results of that grieving process, I believe, is that we quench Him. We learned a few weeks back that Jesus Christ gave this Spirit to be our helper. And He's come to be our helper, our comforter, our counselor. He just comes to be there when we need Him. But if we choose to live in sin and disobedience to Him, and we're not faithful to Him, and we're not regularly confessing our sins when we sin against Him, He is quenched. That means even though He came to be our helper, we tie His hands. He cannot help us. No matter how much He wants to help us, sometimes like parents, right? No matter how much we want to help them, no matter how much we want them to get saved, if they're not saved, we don't have the power to do that. And so man is the one that ties the hands of the Spirit of God, and we've already seen that. Today, we're going to see that the one who came as a gift, for it says in Acts 2:38, in our gift box right there, you'll notice it says that. It says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins," or get saved, and then once you're saved, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you weren't just forgiven of your sins, and that was awesome. The Bible says you were also cleansed of all your sins. And there was a reason for that, because at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God was sent down to be in you. We became His dwelling place. We became, as we learned a few weeks back, we literally became the Holy of Holies. And so the Spirit of God lives in us. But not only is He the gift that Christ sent, but the Bible also teaches that the Holy Spirit gives a gift to us. So the gift becomes a giver. In Scripture, it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, now here it is, just as He wills. He's the giver of the gifts. That's been given to the Holy Spirit of God to do that. God is a giving God. God loves to give. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, and we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives, we too then will love to give. We will, like God, become givers, as He is a giver. God is a giver. The Bible says the Father gave the Son in John 3:16. The Son gave the Spirit in John 16:7. And then the Spirit, what did He give? He gave the spiritual gifts, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12:11. And so if we're choosing to be like God, if we want to grow in being like Him more and more, as we do that, we will become givers. And that giving attitude, that giving heart will grow. And so because He's a giving God, we then, as His children, who are becoming more like Him, will also become more and more like Him in giving. And so the Spirit of God gave us the gifts, called the spiritual gifts. What is it? Number one, what is a spiritual gift? I like the way Charles Swindoll gave it as a definition. Put it on the screen there for you. He said this. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability that enables the Christian to function in God's family with three things: ease, efficiency, and a sense of accomplishment. Spiritual gift. That's a good definition of a spiritual gift. Number two, does every Christian have a gift? The answer is yes. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this: now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one is given, not to just some people or some Christians, but to each one is given a gift, a spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says the same thing: as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the Bible is clear. Twice we see that every Christian has been given a spiritual gift. If you're here, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. The moment you were saved, the Spirit of God that was a gift to you became a giver to you. And He gave you at least one spiritual gift, if not more. Number three, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Why were we given spiritual gifts by the Spirit of God? Two reasons. The first one is, I believe, the most important one of all. 1 Peter 4:11 says, so that, in the context is gifts, spiritual gifts, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the first and most important purpose, is to glorify God. When we use our spiritual gifts, we are glorifying God in that. And there's no greater thing that we can do in our life than live lives that glorify Him. That's the first and most important one. The second, your spiritual gift is given to you by God's Spirit to benefit the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, each one is given for the common good. It's given so you can help others. 1 Peter 4:10 puts it this way. He says the spiritual gifts are given so you can serve one another. They're not given so you can benefit the world. Even though as we use it, isn't it true that the world is greatly benefited by it? I mean, you can use your spiritual gift in the home, and if you have an unbelieving spouse, then they are blessed by that. But it's not so much for the world. It's not so much even for yourself, even though when you exercise the spiritual gifts, there is a sense of joy and accomplishment related to it and fulfillment. But it's not given for that purpose. It's given to glorify God and benefit others so we can serve Him. That's the purpose, twofold purpose of the spiritual gifts that God has given all of us. If you name the name of Christ, if you've ever been saved and trusted Christ, you have been given as a gift the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, He also, according to His will, not yours, not mine, has gifted you. And so we're all gifted people. I believe that the special gift that's referred to in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it's described that way, refers to having a gift package. And so the moment the Spirit of God indwelt you, He gave you, and this is how I see this, He gave you a gift package at that moment. And that gift package that He gave you contains four things. We see three of them referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. And then I believe we find another one, a fourth one, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And so total of what we see in those two passages is that there are four. So this spiritual gift package would have four items in it, four gifts in it given to you. So we want to look at those four. Number one, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. It says here, number one, there are different kinds of gifts. 1 Corinthians 4:12. It also says it in Romans, I think it's 12:6 or 4. It talks about having different kinds of gifts. So the first thing that we know about the gifts that the Spirit of God gives us is they are spiritual in nature. They're spiritual gifts and not natural gifts or natural talents. Singing, writing, painting, playing the piano, administrating, all of those things aren't necessarily spiritual in nature or spiritual gifts. They are natural talents, natural gifts given to you by God at birth. A talent is something you had before you were saved. That's a talent. Whatever you could do before you were saved in the way of your giftedness means it's not a spiritual gift by nature. It's a natural gift. It's a talent. A spiritual gift is something that you received from the Spirit of God that you now have after you were saved, that you were blessed with. Because the Spirit of God is the giver of the gifts. And there's no way you can be given this spiritual gift unless you first had the gift, the Spirit. You must have Him, and then He gives you these gifts. So that means you got to first be saved. You've got to first trust Christ as Savior, then you're given by Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit imparts to you a spiritual gift. There's an argument whether everybody just has one and that's it, or if everyone has one and some have more. You know, and I see that there seems to be indications, at least in the New Testament, that some of the people we see there had more than one, were gifted in more than one. Well, the thing that I know for sure is every single one of us here has at least one spiritual gift that was given to us. It says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. So you got to make sure you don't confuse natural talent and spiritual gifts. Now, a natural talent, it's true, can enrich the soul, which involves how you feel. So someone has a natural talent, and maybe it's a singing natural talent, and they sing, and you are, in your soul, you're just blessed in that, and it's emotionally speaking, and you're feeling uplifted when you leave because of that. Or you might have heard someone teach, and they have the gift of teaching, and they were teaching not necessarily the Bible, but they were teaching some things, and you went away feeling blessed that you were taught those things, whether it be a class in school or whatever. But only a spiritual gift can touch the Spirit. That's the main difference. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, your dead spirit then became alive. The Bible says we were born dead spiritually, but when we trusted Christ, we became spiritually alive at that moment. And so the spiritual gifts are gifts that enrich the spirit of man, touch the spirit of man, is used by God to strengthen the spirit of the believer. It can build up the new man, the inner man, the spirit that has been made alive through Christ. And so spiritual gifts are not natural talents. A talent or natural ability that God gave you at birth, and then at that point you may have continued to develop it, that talent can be used by God as a vehicle, as a tool to exercise your spiritual gift through. And so you've been given some natural talent that you use. Maybe it's painting, singing, playing instruments, or whatever. As you do that, filled with the Spirit of God, and you do it in His name, then your spiritual gift is working through that natural talent. God uses our natural talents, and He works through those natural talents when it comes to our gifts. If you sing, and your natural talent, you can do that. But what if your spiritual gift is exhortation? As you sing, people's hearts will be touched, and they will be spiritually exhorted. Not just emotionally, in a soulish kind of way, but your soul and your spirit will be exhorted and will be touched. Or it helps. They will be helped. They might be comforted and encouraged. Teaching. You have the gift of teaching, but you're up there singing God's word and that message of the truth. That's why our song should be as close as possible to truth, because then you are teaching the people that are listening through the music, through your spiritual gift that you have. There's something else about this I want to share with you. The spiritual, emotional impact of your gift is not determined by how naturally gifted you might be, or how well you can sing, or how well naturally you have this talent to teach, or whatever. It's not based on that. At the very end of the word spiritual is an ikos ending, I-K-O-S, an ikos ending. The ikos ending of the word spiritual, that ending means controlled by or dominated by. That tells me that the gift given to us by the Holy Spirit is not controlled by you. It is controlled by the Holy Spirit as you surrender your life to Him. So the key to being used of God through your natural talents, doesn't matter how good you are in your natural state, it all depends on how surrendered you are to God. That's the key to being used. We think it's how gifted you might be. The greatest, most beautiful singer you've ever heard. Yeah, it's going to bless your soul. But it's only going to touch your spirit based on how surrendered you are to the Holy Spirit, because it's a spiritual ikos ending gift. So He's in control of it. And so how well I teach up here is not determined how great I do it or how I might flub up. It all depends on how surrendered I am to God. And so if I am in fact using a spiritual gift of teaching or preaching, God will use it and God will bless. Not dependent on if I mess up or forget or whatever, or how well I outline the text. It's how surrendered I am to God. As I then use my spiritual gift for Him. That's living free. Because God touching your heart and using me doing what I do is not dependent on how good I am or how well I do or how wonderful someone could sing or teach. It all has to do with how surrendered I am to God as I use it. As I do whatever it is God has called me to do or allowed me to do, the same thing is true for all of us. The second thing, so it says there's different kinds of gifts, and there's lists in Scripture and in the Corinthian book and in Ephesians and in 1 Peter, there's some lists there, but I also believe that those might be partial lists, but at least we know we got those, and we know that. The second, there are in this gift package different kinds of gifts, but there's also different kinds of services. Or you might have the word in 1 Corinthians 12:5, there are different kinds of ministries. This says that we're not all asked by God to serve Him in the same way. See, there are many different things that we can be involved in when it comes to using our spiritual gifts. And so our gifts are used through a service, through a ministry. Maybe you've been given the spiritual gift of helps. You could be led of God to help in the nursery and celebrate recovery. You could be led of God to be used of God in helps when it comes to the hospitality house in our community here, or a Samaritan purse type of ministry. It could be part of the worship team. The worship team, you're helping. Now, do you have the gift of helps? Do you have to have the gift of helps to be involved in any of these? No. But as you're involved in these ministries, your gift, your spiritual gift, will be used of God as you do it. It can be cleaning the church. It can be so many things. There's so many things we can do for God in ministry, in service, as we use our spiritual gifts. We have all been given at least one spiritual gift, and we've all been given a place to use it for the glory of God. God gives us opportunities to serve Him in one way or another. And isn't it true that sometimes those ministries or services change? Sometimes it can be because of physical things that causes it to change. But does that mean you stop being used of God and serving Him? Of course not. It just the people we serve or the place might be different. So the second thing we see, there's different kinds of services. There's different kinds of ministries and that God can call us to. And so that means we're not all called to do the same thing. Everyone's not called to be involved in Celebrate Recovery. We're not all called to do that, to serve God in that way. But we're all called of God to serve Him. Number three, there are different kinds of workings in our spiritual gift package, according to verse 6. The Greek word is energema, different kinds of energema. We get our English word energy from that Greek word. Different kinds of energies, energy. And what I find interesting about this particular word is that at the end of this word is a suffix, and I just pronounce it this way. It's spelled in English M-A-H, ma. Well, that's the word I always called my mom. To me, she was ma. Hey, there's ma. Well, we see that word here. It's the word ma. The word ma, the suffix that's at the end of this Greek word, means result or effort. This refers to what is produced. Different kinds of workings, different kinds of effects, different kinds of results. Or fruit would be another word. This word refers to what is produced or the effect produced by the energy. And so you have your spiritual gift, and you may or may not be using a natural talent. Sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes we don't, but we're still serving God using our spiritual gifts. So the fruit or the results or the effect is also a part of the spiritual gift package that He's given us. So this says that the results of our work, number one, will be different. And the results of our work is all in God's hands, not in ours. Our responsibility is twofold. Number one, to be totally surrendered to God. That's our choice. And number two, as a totally surrendered person to God, to choose to be involved, to be serving the body, serving the church, serving other Christians. We have control of those two things. So it's up to me to choose to be totally surrendered to God. And I have found that that is something we do on a regular basis, because it's so easy to undo it, isn't it? We totally surrendered, and before long we find out we're not so much. So we continually have an attitude of surrendering our hearts and lives to God as we serve Him in the church. That's our responsibility. That's what we can do. But the results, the effect, the fruit of that, well, that's part of the gift package. He says there are different kinds of energy or workings or results when it comes to our service. So when you serve God using your spiritual gift in a particular ministry, through your natural gift or not, it makes no difference. But it's a ministry that God led you to do, that God wants you to do. There will always be energema, because it's part of the gift package. There will always be energema. There will always be something happening, whether you see it or not. There will always be something happening, whether you see it or not. When you pour your life into the life of someone else, you may not see anything happening, but that doesn't mean there isn't, because there's an energy in the gift package that go along with your gift and goes along with the ministry and the service that you're involved in. Matthew 13:8 tells us that our service for God will be fruitful, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Why is that true? Because the energema, the energy, the workings. Isn't it awesome to know that when you serve God, when you reach out to others and serve them and help them and pray for them, that God is working, whether you see it or not? That gives us great encouragement just to keep on keeping on. Because it's not based on what we see. Will we see it? Yes. Jared Trotzel came. You remember Jared, young teenager, came. He just walked in the door, sat in the back there by himself. He'd trusted Christ, already had trusted Christ as his Savior, started coming to church, started coming to prayer meeting, started to pray for his brother and for his dad. And we had no idea what kind of impact we had on his life, because eventually he moved away into another state. Never saw him for a long time, kind of forgot about him actually. And then he shows up here, and he had went through seminary training and now is waiting on God, what God wanted him to do. And we all had a part in that as we fellowshipped with him and taught him and served him and prayed for him. And so God was working. But I had no clue. None of us did. other than we reached out for Jared in love. So we see that God's in this gift package, number three, is the workings, it's called. Number four, I'm adding a fourth one. I believe we also have this one. In this one we find in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God has given us, each one of us, a measure of faith. Now I like this, because what if God gave you a job to do, but he didn't give you enough faith to do it? And what if someone else is doing something and you think to yourself, I don't know if I could do that. He gives somebody the faith for a worldwide kind of ministry. And you think to yourself, man, I don't know if I'd have the faith to do what they're doing. Well, God says, I give you in your gift package, in your calling, in your service, enough faith so you can do it. And so it wasn't that I had to figure out if I could do what I do. God had to give me enough faith, enough trust in him to do it, what he's called us to do. It takes faith in God to use your spiritual gift, the spiritual gift that God has given you, to trust him. He says, I give you the right amount of faith. Not too little, not too much, just what you need. Have you ever thought, man, oh man, if we were attacked here and we didn't have the freedoms we have and someone came in here with a gun and said, you know, deny your faith or get shot or deny your faith or be tortured. Did you ever wonder, like, I wonder if I'd have enough faith to make it through that? Well, the Bible promises that you have enough faith for what God has given you today. And if that ever happened, he would give us enough faith for that too. This measure of faith. Whatever you do for God, and however big it might become, God will give you enough faith. So that says this. We can't be proud of anything and glory of anything. Because whatever you do for God, no matter how he might choose to bless it, he's given everything to you to accomplish it. From the gift, to the service, to the energy, the fruits, to the faith to do all of that. It's all a gift from God. Everything has been given to you by God's grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, I'm going to read the new King James Bible, I believe it is here, but it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I think that's the New King James Bible. Distributing, speaking of the gifts, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It's that word individually that I find interesting. The word individually is the Greek word eidios, I-D-I-O-U-S, the Greek word eidios, from which we get our English word idiot. That word, eidios, means one of a kind. It means there is nobody else just like you. You have been given a one of a kind gift package. And the reason my gift is different than your gift is because of the gift mix is different. My gift mix is different than yours. My gift mixed will be different than the next man that stands here. He'll have a different gift mix. Maybe called of God to do the same service, but he will have a different gift mix. And so my mix is different than yours. It's all the Spirit's choice. Not yours, not mine. It's his choice. Let me put it this way. You have your gift package. It's all mixed in with who you are as a Christian. But then add, you have your own personality. You have your own strengths and weaknesses. You have your own family background. You have all your life experiences. You have all of your friends, church experience, men that have taught you. You have all of that mixed in with your spiritual gift package. So how could you ever not say that we're all alike? Really, you are a one-of-a-kind person in the body of Christ, because there's nobody else alive that has that exact mix, naturally, spiritually, experientially, nobody. And so God takes that mix and uses us, you and me. And I also believe, based on that mix, all of it, the good, bad, and ugly, the family you grew up in, all of it, He's taken all of that and made you who you are today. And so that means there's something you can do for God that nobody else can do. Because there's nobody else just like you. You can reach out and touch a life better than someone else. And so you might think, well, why did I have the family I had? Why couldn't... Well, God takes this whole thing and has prepared you through it all to be used of Him. And so, really, we're all idios. We're all one of a kind. We're all little snowflakes. It is said, from what I read, that no two snowflakes are alike. So you're a little snowflake. I'm a little snowflake. Because there's no one exactly just like me and just like you. And that'll be true, that's true in the church, and that'll be true throughout eternity. And so that means that there is something God has prepared you to do for Him. And when you do it, He will use it for His glory and for the benefit of others. He will use it. And it doesn't matter what it is. Teaching, mowing the lawn, makes no difference. God can take your gift package and your talents and gifts and use it for His glory. God continues to use this pulpit for His glory. And Lon Posenjack built it. And He's still using it this day. So hopefully the next guy comes in, he won't be 6'8". Because he'll be wanting a taller pulpit. Did we keep? Does it go up?
We'll just lift it up. Well, hope he's not 4 foot.
Maybe it's like this. Turn your Bible to... Anyhow, I want to close with this story. It's titled, Only a Glass of Milk. One day, a poor boy who was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through school found he had only one thin dime left, and he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. However, he lost his nerve when a lovely young woman opened the door. So instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he looked hungry, so brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, "How much do I owe you?" She said, "You don't owe me anything. Mother has taught us never to accept pay for kindness." He said, "Then I thank you from my heart." As Howard Kelly left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and man became strong also. He had been ready to give up and quit. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled by her sickness. They finally sent her to the big city, where they called in specialists to study her case, her rare case. Dr. Howard Kelly was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town she came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately he rose and went down the hall of the hospital to her room. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room, determined to do his best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to the case. After a long struggle, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill to him for approval. He looked at it, then wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay for it. Finally, she looked, and something caught her attention on the side of the bill. She read these words, quote, "Paid in full with one glass of milk." Signed, Dr. Howard Kelly. Tears of joy flooded her eyes as her happy heart prayed, "Thank you, God, that your love has spread abroad through human hearts and hands. God has the power to take whatever we are willing to give him and use them to benefit others and do it in his name. He has the power to turn it into a great, often unexpected blessing." The question is, are you serving God by using your spiritual gift to benefit others, to glorify his name? Never forget, it's not for results. It's for the glory of God, and it is to benefit others. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that the gift that's been given to us has given us a gift, has given us a gift package, spiritual gifts, services, even the results are all in your hands. And Father, thank you that you've given us the faith to press on, the faith to keep going, keep witnessing, keep praying, keep serving, keep doing until Jesus calls us home or until he comes back. So, Father, we thank you that it's all in your hands. It's all by God's grace. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Closing.